Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. I just kind of got lost and breathed a while ago, so I got to come back here. So that was good. That was good. And, pardon? We can do that. We just get lost in it, can't we? On your notes, if you don't have a copy of today's notes, you need them, because we're gonna say Psalms 100 out together. Most people know this and therefore don't need the notes. But I want you to out loud speak this psalm with me. It's Psalm 100. And it says, ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. We could say amen and go home, and I'll pick up part two next time. But that's that's not what I'm doing. Kind of come out of the gate running with this one, because I do have a lot of area that I want to cover today. I thought about several different things to minister on today, and I was really going to try to pick up on the last two sermons that Pastor preached. But when I began to pray, I began to hear this, and this is what I want to share with us today. Is probably something you've heard in the past. I don't know. But I really basically want to share with you 7 Hebrew words about praise. This is a time of thanksgiving. This is a time when we think about and we ponder and we look at things that we're thankful for, and we begin to speak about the things that we're thankful for, which we should always do. But this, during the Thanksgiving season, we're probably a little bit more mindful than normal. Vera, it's good to see you. And we're really more mindful of being thankful. But as I began to think about this, and I began to think on these 7 Hebrew words, I thought, you know, I don't, since I've been here, we've not talked about them. So I don't know if you've had them in the past or not. But this is something that is very foundational to a worshiper. This is something that is very foundational to a person that wants to live a lifestyle of thankfulness, is to understand the Davidic form of worship. These words are considered, and there are books that are written on them, and it always talks about the Davidic form of worship, that David himself penned these words that we use as a foundation for what we do in praise and worship, what we do as a thankful people. And I think they're very, very instrumental. It's hard to not go over this and not get extremely excited. And as you look at these things, and I was so glad to see some of you that are here this morning. There's some more that I'm actually going to mention their names today, because I see in our worship some of these things being expressed. I'm glad Cindy's here. I'm glad Connie's here, because there's some things that I've witnessed in your worship that the rest of us can understand and see. A person who is free in worship is a person who's, they understand there's an audience of one. Their worship is not for anybody else, but they are also an example for those who don't understand how to worship. And as you begin to watch, as you watch Connie, as you watch Cindy, as you watch Samima, as you watch my big backside up here worshiping, you know that there is a place that we are people who have walked, schooled, and learned about worship. And therefore, we are free to worship, so we are examples of worship. I tell people all the time, they say, well, how do you know how to be free if you go into a strange church? I said, well, you watch the leadership. And don't ever try to worship beyond where they are, because that usually becomes a show. And if you see a leadership in a church that's, and when I came here, you know, I didn't know how we worshiped at Lamplight when I first came here. And so I've sat in the back and I watched the worship. And I thought, well, this is one of the freest places in worship that I've ever been in. It was a great example of worship, of people who understand how to be free before God. And it really expressed the 7 Hebrew words for praise. There are actually more. These 7 are used more in the Psalms than any other of the others. But so we're going to look at these seven. I'm going to give you a definition of them. And I hope as we leave this place today, we'll be a people who are schooled a little bit better in what true worship is all about. Now, and this is not in your notes, but in 1 Timothy 28, it says this: therefore, I desire that men, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So there's a good New Testament example of lifting up hands. Some folks get hung up on whether you bring any New Testament in there, because we're going to stay in the book of Psalms today, pretty much. So, but I want us to know the Old Testament is given to us mainly as an example. And there are things that we learn in the Old Testament, not that we have to go back to as tradition, and I mean, Jesus changed the Old Testament to the New Testament because of Christ. But there are some foundational things in the Old Testament that do come over. And worship is one of them. Tithes and offerings is one of them. There are some things in the Old Testament that we do bring over into the New Testament. There are a lot of churches that say, well, if it's in the Old Testament, it's not worthy, or it's not something we need to be a part of. Honey, if it's in this word, it's something you better know.
That's exactly
right. Amen. So anyway, so I wanted to say that. And there is a New Testament example. In Luke chapter 19, verses 37 and 40, the word says this: then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people were shouting out these words. Now look what happens. This is what happens in the religious institutions almost immediately. And some of the Pharisees called from the crowds, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." That's Jesus sanctioning praise and worship. He said, if these were to keep quiet, the very stones would cry out. Well, when we understand that, then we understand that as a New Testament believer, that there's something about the praise unto God that is required of us, because if we don't do it, the very trees and the stones are going to cry out. So we're going to be found obedient to be the ones. I'm telling you, there's no rock anywhere going to call out as long as Mike Whitehead's got breath, because I'm going to call out praise to my God, because he's worthy. Not because I'm trying to put on a show, because I want to look important or look spiritual to people, but because my God is worthy of praise. He's worthy of gratitude. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of all that I have. And I used to tell people, I said, you know, I used to watch Barbara Streisand sing. The woman could stand totally still and sing. Yet when she delivered a song, her very toenails were involved in her delivery. All that she had was involved in her delivery. And I said, that's how I want to be unto God. I want my toenails worshiping God. I want all that I am, body, soul, spirit, everything that I have to be obedient to worship God. I want all that is within me to be able to worship God. And the second group of scriptures is 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to say these things really quick, and I am running fast here because I do have a lot I want to do, and I'm going to try to do this all today. 2 Samuel. It ain't got to happen. Yeah, but it's going to be awful fun if I do. In 1 Samuel 22, here we find out something. This is what I think we need to understand. This is where David was when he began to pen some of the greatest psalms. It says, David therefore departed from there, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now what David was doing was running from Saul. And the reason he was running is the people were proclaiming, Saul has slain his thousands, David his ten thousands. And Saul got jealous. And so there was a proclamation going forth, and therefore some jealousy came up. Anywhere praise and worship of any sort comes into a people of religious thinking, their jealousy will rise up. And there was some praise. There was some praise of David was coming forth. Well, David fled instead of fighting the king, because David understood spiritual authority, which is a whole nother lesson. David fled and he went to this place called the Cave of Adullam. Now, there's a whole message on the Cave of Adullam, and maybe someday we'll deliver that one. But I want you to see here in the next verse, it says that his father's house heard it, and all of his brothers, and all these people heard that David had fled to the Cave of Adullam. Now look at verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. What a bunch of people to flee with. They were distressed, in debt, and discontented. And they all went with him. Sounds like church some days. And it says they gathered to him. And so he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Can you imagine getting locked in a cave with 400 in distress, in debt, and discontented men? You'd want to say, oh, Lord. I mean, sometimes I've been around some negative people just about 2 minutes, and I'm like, I can't handle any more of this. Can you imagine being locked in a cave with 400 distressed, in debt, and discontented men? It was in this place David began to pen some of the greatest psalms. And the one I want to look at right now is Psalms 103. This psalm was written in the Cave of Adullam. Listen to this. This is how David dealt with what was going on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can you imagine being in a cave with 400 men, debt, distressed, and discontented, and you're talking about, forget not all his benefits? You have to get into the mindset of God in order to get out of the mindset of the natural. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, it would take a mighty positive person to come up with those words in a cave with 400 in distress and debt and discontented men. But this is where we start finding out something about the heart of David. That he knew that when you get in the presence of God, and you see, I believe David learned all of this on the backside of a mountain tending sheep. Because he had a long time back there. And the word says he took his little guitar and he would just sit out there and he would play it and he would sing songs unto God. And the word says that a bear came to get the sheep and David slew that bear. A lion came and David slew that lion. And with that, because of his just getting out there and worshiping God and being alone with God, with those things, when Goliath the giant came, it was like, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Against my God, he's nothing. And David learned that on the backside of the desert. Well, in this Cave of Adullam, David took those, that way of doing things, and he began to apply it with where he was. Instead of allowing a lion and a bear and a giant to overthrow him, he began to praise and worship and cry out to God, and he came into such a relationship with God that he very easily was able to walk forward and do what he was called to do. And then here he is in the Cave of Adullam, running from a king. He's trying not to get out from under spiritual authority. He's trying to be in right relationship with him. And instead of speaking against him, he's gone to this cave to hide so he doesn't get killed. And if you follow this story through, it's pretty incredible that the 400 men who are with him ended up being called men of valor. And they come up and they slay thousands of the enemy. One individual slew something like 40,000 people. They actually became great men of valor. And I believe the number one thing that got into those men is that this man who was leading them knew that one of the greatest things in his life to keep him from falling into distress,
from falling into debt, from falling into dismay, was to cry out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And in doing so, it brought him to a place where he was not moved by debt. He was not moved by distress. He was not moved by discontentment, but he was moved by his relationship with God Almighty. And that's exactly what happened. So now here we're going to look at these words, these seven Hebrew words that we find in the book of Psalms. Now, what I have done in my Bible, if you write in your Bible, I encourage you to do this because it's not going to hurt anything and it'll help you when you read your word to see this. I'm going to say the word thankful, the word praise, the word shout, and I'm going to give you the Hebrew word for that. And I encourage you as you look at, as you write down these definitions, that you take that word and you write it in your Bible. And when you get alone with God this week, you read these scriptures and just be obedient to the description of that word. It'll change your life. Because it changed the lives of those 400 men. And I know that it'll change us. And true praise and worship, there's a foundation here, but it's just the beginning. And we've had 2,000 years of building on these principles of praise and worship. And today, we're seeing the fruition of that. Okay, the first one that I want to talk about, look at with me at Psalms 52. I've never had this before. This is kind of cool. Yada. To worship with the extended hand. Now, we do that a lot in our church. We worship God with the extended hand. And that's what that scripture there in 1 Timothy was talking about. To worship with the extended hand. Men ought to cry out, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We worship with the extended hand. We raise our hands to God. I've had people ask me before, what does that mean? Well, sometimes it's an act of surrender. If somebody comes up to you with a gun and points it to you, the first thing we know to do is lift our hands. I've got nothing to fight you with. I surrender. But when we come to the Lord in worship, it's Lord, I just surrender to you. All that I am, all that I have, I surrender to you. And then I also, and this is maybe just a personal thing, but I also remember one of the greatest joys of my life was when I'd walk in my house and my children would come like this. Because they don't want Daddy to pick them up. And they come like this. And y'all, sometimes I need Daddy to pick me up. And so it's an extended of hand. It's like, I'm coming to you. I just want to be with you. You're what I need right now. It's going to be hard not to get emotional with this one for me. But Daddy, I'm just coming to you. Abba Father, Daddy God, I'm worshiping you with extended hand. I encourage you. You say, well, you know, some people don't do that in the sanctuary. I encourage you in your alone time. If you're not comfortable with doing it publicly, then make sure you, when you get alone with God, put on some good praise and worship music and just sit there and extend your hands to God as you begin to sing and you begin to praise and you begin to worship. If you're driving in your car, lift up one hand. I've done that many times. I know people drive by thinking, what in the world is that man doing? I'm fixing something in the ceiling or something. I don't know. But I'm just worshiping God. I'm worshiping with an extended hand. I surrender, Lord. I need you, Lord. I want you. Sometimes I think when I worship an extended hand, that there's this place between my two hands that I'm looking for the face of God. It's just an act of surrender, an act of searching, an act of reaching. Pastor's greatest vision for this house is a manifested presence of God. And church, I believe if we as a people will begin to worship the Father with extended hands, that one day he's going to show up right between our hands. Glory. He's going to show up, and it's going to be an awesome experience. So here in Psalms 52, in verse 9, it says, I will praise you forever. The word for praise there is the word yada. Say yada. Yada. That is the word. Now, you may have had these words before, and they were pronounced a little differently than I pronounced them. I have searched this and I have tried this, and these are the way I pronounce them. So if you pronounce them different, then you go ahead, but don't try to correct me, okay? Because I know them this way. They help me this way. So he says, I will praise you forever. I will worship you with extended hand forever. That's what David was saying unto the Lord. Because you have done it, and the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. It's like I'm waiting for you, Father. It's like when I come in the door and my kids are running, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. There's a waiting. There's a place that the Father is waiting. So he said, I will yada you forever. Psalm 107. This is a good one. In Psalm 107. Oh, now I'm in your way. No, I want you to get this. In Psalm 107, in verse 8, it says, oh, that men would give yada unto the Lord, or to the Lord, for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If you ever needed anything to give you a reason to lift your hands, that right there is enough. He says, oh, that men would give yada, the extended hand, to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, and I love it when it's repeated. Oh, that men would give yada to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would give yada to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And verse 31, guess what? Oh, that men would give yada to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that great? Yada, to worship with the extended hand. Okay, let's go to the next one. Toda, say toda. Toda, go ahead, Pastor. Oh, it goes. I forgot a scripture. Psalms 100. We read that today. In Psalms 100, in verse 4, it says this: enter into his gates with yada, with thanksgiving, with yada, with the extended hands. Let me make sure I got that one right. I have to look at my Bible because I've got it written in there. Yeah, it's the word thanks. No. Yeah, thanksgiving is another one, but it's into his courts with yada. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We'll get that one in a minute. But into his courts with yada. So when we enter into the courts, we're entering into the courts with yada. Now and I'd love to do some tabernacle teaching here, because there's the outer court and there's the inner court. And this is actually talking about the outer court, that we enter into the outer court with yada, extended hand. And then as we get into the inner courts, there's some stronger things that are going to happen. So we're entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with yada, with worship with the extended hand. And see, David knew something about this. And because he knew it, it made a difference when he was in this cave. And now, 2,000 years later, or even more than that, later, here we are as worshipers learning from this great man of worship, as we use other people as an example of worship to learn, to grow. And here we are learning the foundation of worship in these great words. Okay, the second word, toda. Toda, the extending of hands with a thankfulness of faith to throw out the hands in joy to God. The extending of the hands with a thankfulness of faith to throw out the hands in joy to God. Now, when I was reading this one, and I was thinking about this last week, the person I thought of the most that is an example of this is Connie. In her worship, Connie throws out her hands in joy unto the Lord. And it's beautiful to watch that, because she's not doing it for me and for you. See, she understands, whether she ever knew this word or not, toda is a part of her life, is a part of her worship, in her dance. And there's going to be some other things in here. We'll see some things about dance. But in her dance, she does toda, the extending of hands, with a thankfulness of faith to throw out the hands in joy to God. And in Psalms 100 again, look at this. Enter into his gates with toda. Enter into his gates with toda. That's like you're coming in. Hallelujah. Lord, we're here. I need to do this probably. Hallelujah. Lord, we're here. I'm entering into the gates. I'm entering into my praise and worship with toda. A thankfulness of faith. It's like the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's like the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm acknowledging that as I extend my hands in thankfulness of joy. As I'm worshiping the Father and I throw out my hands. That's what I see you doing all the time, Connie. Is you come up like this and you throw out your hands. And there's a way that you worship. You throw out your hands. She's toda-like. toda-ing. I can't even say it. She's doing toda. Say toda. Toda. And see, that's an extending of the hands with a thankfulness of faith to throw out the hands in joy unto God. When we walk in the doors, we ought to walk in the doors with toda. When you get up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, the next thing I ought to do is toda. Something? Instead of, oh Lord, it's Monday. How about toda? Lord, I'm extending my hands in thankfulness of faith. With joy for who you are in my life. I'm not moved by Monday morning. But I'm moved by the fact that you are the author and the finisher of my faith. An extending of hands with thankfulness. So he says in Psalms 100, enter into his gates with toda and into his courts with praise. So I guess when I got ahead of myself a while ago, courts is the inner sanctum. So we enter into the gates, the outer court, with thanksgiving, and into the courts, the praise, with yada. And it's a surrender. It's a loving. Amen. Amen. And then the other scripture with toda is Psalms 50. And what I did is I underlined thanksgiving, and I wrote right above it toda, and I underlined a praise, and I wrote right above it yada. And in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 23, look at this. Whoever offers toda glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. See, you can't argue with the release of what I call extravagant worship. I was sharing with my friend Dan. I said, now we're extravagant worshipers at Lamplight. He goes to an Episcopalian church. Pastor asked him if he needed a kneeling bench right here. And I'm done. But I said, now, yeah, we're trying to make him feel at home. And you know what? There's a place for kneeling. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. As a matter of fact, that's totally in the inner sanctum or in the inner courts with God where we'll do the kneeling. But anyway, he says, whoever offers toda glorifies me. Now, do you want to be one who glorifies the Father? There's a lot of things you can do. But this one, King David learned, was something that built on the inside. And again, let me say this. Do you know that there is never anything that you can do in obedience to God that he doesn't pour out on your behalf greater measure for you, because God's not going to let you outdo him. So if you offer toda unto God, God's going to say, well, I've got something more for you. I am not going to let you outgive me. That's the kind of father we have. If my kids are obedient to me, or if my kids are loving to me, y'all, it's so much easier for me to say, okay, I got to do something here. You know, I got to do something more, because I'm going to love them back in greater measure. But our Father is even greater with that. And he says, whosoever offers toda, glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, he's talking about the one who's offering toda. He says, I will show the salvation of God. I've got to get all of these in here, and I'm doing good, aren't I? Okay, let's go to the next one, Barak. Barak. To kneel or bow down, to declare the origin of power. I'll go slow so you can write it. To kneel or bow down, to declare God the origin of power, success, fertility, and prosperity. To be still and know he is God. I'll say that one more time. Barak. Say that with me. Barak. Right. To kneel or bow down, to declare God the origin of power, God the origin of success, God the origin of fertility, God the origin of prosperity, and to be still and know he is God. When I began to meditate on this one and I began to think about it, the person who came to my mind was our pastor's wife, Michelle. When we were all at Evangel Christian Center, the church I used to pastor, we used to sing the song, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. The mountains bow down and the seas will roar." With, I mean, almost 100% of the people, anytime we sang that song, almost 100% of the people would always go, "The mountains bow down." And I've noticed Michelle still does that.
Yes, she does.
When we sing that song. And she learned that at Evangel. And see, that example of worship has stuck with her, and she still baroques unto God in the song "Shout to the Lord" every time we sing that. "The mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of His name. I sing for joy." What am I doing? Toda. "At the work of Your hands." I mean, we can bring these words to today's songs, and we sing how we see how it works. And when, you know, how much more is your faith increased when you see scriptural foundation for that which you're doing? Isn't it incredible? So when we sing that song, Michelle always does barak unto the Lord. Now, whether she knows that's what she's doing or not, that's not important, really. Now, if she hears this tape, it'll stir her even more. And when I see songs, when we sing songs, and I know Connie does it in her worship, when I see songs that where people bow, that has the words bow, you'll usually see me tilt over, because I want to barak unto the Lord. There have been times, yeah, a lot of times in sign language, we see people bowing as that becomes the example. But you see, there comes a part that it's not, well, I see a word, so I better do this. But it's just a part of your heart. It's just a part of who you are. And David allowed these principles to become so much a part of who he was that it became natural to him. And it became so natural to him, he began to write these beautiful words in the Psalms. And these words still carry on today. But we begin to barak unto the Lord. And I encourage you, especially in your alone time, find a place to get alone before God and to barak unto the Lord. To bow down. See, in America, we don't like to bow down to anything. We think we don't have to. But you see, there are some areas in our life that unless we learn how to barak, will never come into the fullness of what God has for us. Unless we learn how to humble ourselves and bow down before God. See, in some countries where there are kings and there are queens, it is just a part of who you are to bow down to the king and the queen. How much more should it be a part of the church to bow down in the presence of an almighty God? How much more? And could it not be a place that it, as a group of people, would bow down just as the 120 were on the day of Pentecost in one accord? If a group of people would find that place to bow down, that the Father would say, "You know what? I'm going to show up today. Because y'all, He's coming. It's in the heart of our pastor that we're going to have a manifested presence of God." And I believe that if we as a people will learn these principles, we are setting an atmosphere for God to show Himself up. And it's not because we're doing it for Him to show up. So we're doing it because He is who He is.
Yeah, that's right.
And as we are obedient to barak unto the Lord, to bow down, to worship. And you know, sometimes, and when I got born again, church, I was reading in a living Bible out of the book of Romans, and I saw myself, and I actually laid myself down prostrate on the floor, and I cried unto the Lord, and I said, "I need You." And God showed up. "I need You." I read that scripture, "If My people which are called by My name will humble themselves and pray." And the only thing I knew about humility was to bow. And I began to bow unto the Lord, and God showed up. My life has never been the same. My life has never been the same. And barak should be very much a part of our worship and our praise. There have been times, especially in the last few weeks, when we get to some of these worship songs, and I was so lost in breath, I didn't even think about it today. But there's been some times I thought up here, you know, "Mikey, I'll just get on your knees and barak unto the Lord." So if I ever do that, let me just set the word today. It's not for somebody to think I'm spiritual. because I want to be found obedient to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As these people who are extravagant in their worship, you'll see Samima bow, meant much in her worship. Connie, Cindy, others bow in their worship. And it's an obedience to Barak. It's to kneel or bow down, to declare God the origin of power, God the origin of success, God the origin of fertility, God the origin of prosperity. It's to be able to be still and know He is God. Amen. Isn't that good? Okay, did we look at Psalm 63 yet? Okay, let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 4. It says this, "Thus will I Barak you while I live. And then I will lift up my hands, I will Todah and Yada in your name. But thus will I Barak, I will kneel, bow down before God." In Psalms 95 and verse 6, Barak is actually used three times here. It says, "O come, let us Barak and Barak. Let us Barak before the Lord our God, before the Lord God our Maker. O come, let us worship and Barak." To Barak. David knew something about humbling himself before God by kneeling and bowing down, that he's proclaiming, he's declaring God the origin of power and success. If you're in a cave of 400 men and they're all distressed, they're all in debt, and they're all discontented, you better understand how to Barak before God. And there's some folks in this room today that your life is pretty messed up. Let me rephrase that. There's some folks in this room, we've got some areas in our lives that are pretty messed up. And maybe if we began to Barak before God, we would see the power of God released on our behalf in those areas. And that can make all the difference. It made all the difference for King David. Barak. Okay, I did 95, 6. Let's go to Psalms 103. Now, this one's exciting. Psalms 103. And we're going to start with verse 20. Is that what that says? Yeah. Now look at 2:20. Okay. Verse 2. "Barak the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Verse 20. "Barak the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." Verse 21. "Barak the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure." Verse 22. "Barak the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Barak the Lord, O my soul." And that's talking about kneeling and bowing down, being still and knowing that he is God. Barak the Lord. Isn't that good? Amen. Okay, let's go to the next one. Hallel. Say Hallel. Hallel means to shine, to boast, to make a show. That'll get on some religious feathers.
Yes, it will.
To be clamorously foolish. Here we are, Samina. Me and you. To be vigorously excited. To laud, to rave, to celebrate. Next time somebody says, "Well, don't you think you're a bit extravagant?" Say, "Well, I'm just hallelling unto God." Let me read that again. Hallel means to shine, to boast, not in myself, to boast in my God. Hallelujah. To make a show. One of these days I'm going to hallel all across the front of this church and y'all are going to go, "What happened to him?" I'm just being obedient to God. We used to have a lady in this church in Nashville that I was music director at, that she had a spin that was unnatural. She would get in the spirit to do it. There's no way you could do that naturally. But she would spin all the way across the front of the sanctuary. Now, the church seated 1,000 people, so it was not a little place. And she would spin all the way around the front, all the way down the aisles, all around the back, come back and come back up this aisle, go back, come back up this aisle, and spin before God. And there was an expression on her face that would take you to the heavenlies. I mean, she had a spin. It was, and there was no way it was a natural thing. She did it by the Spirit. And when she came by you, you sensed and felt the presence of God. It was not a showy thing. It was a beautiful thing. I'd love to know where she is today. But even in the natural, and that's a part of Hallel. She was being clamorously foolish. To be vigorously excited. To laud, rave, and to celebrate. A lot of people have said of me in the past 25 years, well, you know, Mike, he's just God's biggest cheerleader. And if I am, it's because I understand Hallel. Because I have something to be vigorously excited about. Because I have something that I can boast in. Because, y'all, I've learned there's not anything out there that I can boast in greater than who He is in my life. I can rave about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can be clamorously foolish. I was in a meeting one time with Dr. Roy Hicks, who was the co-founder of the Foursquare Church. Or a co-founder of the Foursquare Church. He was, at that point, he was the overseer of the Foursquare Church. That's who he was. He was the overseer of the Foursquare Church. Amy Simple McPherson started it. Yeah. But Dr. Hicks was the overseer. And we were in a meeting, and he was teaching about praise and worship. And there were probably about 1,500 people in this meeting. And he said, "Today, we're going to Hallel." And everybody looked at him like, "What?" And he said, "We're going to be clamorously foolish before our God." And he looked out across this congregation of 1,500 people. He said, "How many are going to be obedient?" Of course, you're sitting under Dr. Roy Hicks. You're not going to sit there and not raise your hand. You're going to go, "I am." He said, "How many are going to be Hallel with me?" And everybody raised their hand. He said, "Hallel means to be clamorously foolish." You saw people be like this. But then were there some of us that said, "Hey, I'll give it a shot." And I can tell you, some people fell on the floor laughing. Clamorously foolish. Some people were jumping up and down and screaming and shouting. Some people were running across the room. You'd say, "Well, that's a little bit of disorder." Not when it's been instructed by the one in charge. And that there's somebody in charge that if you do get out of hand, can bring it down to a place of okay. But there was plenty of room for us to Hallel before God. Let's look at the scriptures. I'm going to preach and not get my stuff done here. But I'm at number 4, so I'm doing well. Psalms 35. Psalm 35 and verse 18, it says this: "I will give you thanks in the great congregation." Now, he's not talking about doing this behind the doors, church. He said, "I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will Hallel you among many people." David knew something about being clamorously foolish before God, that it would do something in the heavenlies that could change not only his life, but the very lives of people around him. And if you remember the story, when they found the Ark of the Covenant, and they called King David, spoke to King David, sent a pigeon or whatever it was. And they said, "We found the ark." He said, "Bring it in." And the first time they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, they didn't bring it in to the way God meant for it to be. They brought it in the way man thought it meant to be. And somebody got fried. So David went to a place and he got alone before God. And he said, "I want to do your will, your way that never lacks your power. What do I need to do?" And God said, "There's a certain way that the Ark of the Covenant needs to be brought in. And there are certain people who need to be on the cart. There are certain people who need to be carrying things. There are certain people." And so David said, "Okay, we're going to do this God's will, God's way." And then David got so excited about the presence of God coming to the temple. Can you imagine what that meant to this man who knew God greater probably at that point than any other man who had ever lived? And all he could imagine was, the very presence of God is in this box. And we're bringing the presence of God to my city. And the word says that David got so excited, he shed his outer garment. Now they said, it says, a lot of people say he was naked. I don't believe he was naked. I believe he had on his undergarment. He had on his boxers. He had on, but he, you know what he shed? Anything that identified him at all. And when you're clamorously foolish before God, you'll lose your identity. Or people will say, he's crazy. But David shed anything that represented who he was as a king. He shed anything that represented who he was because all he wanted to be seen was Hallel. Is that where I am? Yeah, Hallel. And he was clamorously foolish. He was excited, laud, rave, celebrating. I'll never forget, I was learning these principles when the song came out. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. And every time I'd hear that song, I'd think Hallel. And so wherever I was, of course, in those days, I was in a church where it was okay to be free. I'd dance. I'd jump up. I'd look like a white man, didn't know what he was doing, but I didn't care. I was doing Hallel unto God. It wasn't for the people. It was for my Father. I was going to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have I read any of the scriptures in Hallel? Okay, let's go to Psalm 34. Y'all help me preach this morning because I tell you, I get excited about this, and you know. Okay, look at this. Verse 2, it says, my soul shall make its Hallel in the Lord. Now, I'd love to get into this in a long stretch. But the soul here that he's talking about is his mind, will, and emotions. What's going on between his ears? And David is saying, I'm making my mind Hallel in the Lord. I'm not going to let my mind wander. In the New Testament, we call it renewing the mind with the Word of God. We talk about being transformed into the image of Christ. But David knew that there was a place that he had to take control of his mind and say, you're not going to think about the debt. You're not going to think about the distress. You're not going to think about the discouragement. You're not going to think about all these depressed people. But you're going to be vigorously excited in the Lord your God. You're going to Hallel. I like that one. Last scripture on Hallel. Oh, this is, we may just have church right here and not go any further. No, we will. I'm going to finish this. Get ready for this one. Psalm 150. Now, when I read this, I want you to think of what Hallel means, all right? Psalm 150. Hallel the Lord. Hallel God in His sanctuary. Hallel Him in His mighty firmament. Hallel Him for His mighty acts. Hallel Him according to His excellent greatness. Hallel Him with the sound of the trumpet. Hallel Him with lute and harp. Hallel Him with the timbrel and the dance. Hallel Him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. Hallel Him with loud cymbals. Hallel Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath hallel the Lord. Hallel the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that gives us freedom to show out. Yep. Amen? Amen. You say, you're going to look foolish. It's not for you. If I look foolish to you, you don't understand Hallel. Because it's not for you. It's for Him. And He's worthy. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be vigorously excited. Because He is the only thing that makes a difference in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that all my scriptures? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go to number 5. And I just did a lot of this one. Number 5 is Shabak. Say Shabak. Shabak is a loud adoration or a shout of praise. Now, did I not just Shabak? I Shabaked all over the place, didn't I? A loud adoration or a shout of praise. And there's a lot of scriptures we know that talk about shouting unto the Lord. And that's Shabak. David knew that there was something about Shabak, about shouting unto God. And you see, sometimes, church, if we'll shout unto the Lord, then we don't hear anything else trying to speak. Sometimes in my worship and praise, I have to get loud and a shout unto praise so I can still the voices of all the things that are trying to keep me from being free in my worship and praise. You'll hear, well, you can't be doing that. Look at what you did this past week. Look at the words you said. Look at how you acted. What you were up to this past week. And church, I don't stand here because of what I did. I stand here because of who He is. And sometimes you have to still the voice of your past. Sometimes you have to still the voice of your present. And you have to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You have to shavak before God. A loud shout, adoration or a shout of praise. Let's read the scriptures because I'm almost done. Psalm 47. In verse 1. He says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shabbat unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shabbat unto God with the voice of triumph. Did y'all ever sing that song? That was a Nashville song many, many years ago in the 80s. Sing praises to our God. Sing praises with understanding. Sing praises unto God. And I forgot the rest of the song. But anyway, it was, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And we used to go, shout unto God with the voice of, can you imagine 1,000 people? When you get to that word, we go, shout unto God. I used to make my kids, just remind me of this. When my children used to get out of my car, Anna knew this because I used to drive Anna and Christopher to middle school together. But I would say, now, what kind of day are you going to have? And they'd go, Dad, please don't make us do this. I'd say, what kind of day are you going to have? Dad, please don't make us do this. I say, you either do it or I'm going to, when we get to school, I'm going to get out of this car and do it myself. And they knew their daddy that I didn't make threats that I didn't want to do. And what I wanted to do is I'm going to have a great day. I said, give me a Tony Tiger day. Of course, there's a lot of folks today don't even know who Tony the Tiger is. But but you know, and what I was wanting to establish within them was a lifestyle of Shabbat. Because I don't care what kind of day the enemy has for you. I don't care what kind of day life has for you. You are going to have a day of celebration. You're going to have a great day. And many times, still the voice of the enemy. If we'll proclaim the word of God. So you should shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you come in here on Sunday morning and you've had a week of heaviness, you've had a week of attack, you've had a week of everything that could possibly go wrong, then the number one thing in your mind is you can't wait to get in the saints with the saints in celebration, and I'm going to shout my way through. I'm going to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Did I read any scriptures yet? Okay, Psalm 63. In verse 3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shabak you. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will shabak you. I'll shout unto God. Y'all, I'm up here on Sunday mornings. I'm not back to see who's doing what. Every once in a while, I get to view a little bit of Connie dancing and worshiping God on the sides. And sometimes I get a little bit of Cindy. I started to say, when I started this, I said, let's do Breathe Again and you guys get up here and do what you did as an example. Because there's so much worship that is not just a vocal expression, but it is an expression of your heart. That is these words, whether you knew it or not. But in the way you express Hallel, you express Yada, you express Shabbat in your hands. And it so encourages my worship. I love it. Sometimes Martha's up here. I love it. We ought to praise God with everything we've got. I need you to teach me that someday. I need to learn because I want to be expressive with all that I am, with all that I have. And if you need to shabak unto God, when you get in your car and you just went by the mailbox and there's more bills than there are money, the first thing out of your mouth is not, oh God, what am I going to do? But I will cry out with a loud voice that my God is my maker. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. And that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you hear that, devil? Do you hear that, principalities? Do you hear that, old things that you're bigger than my God? Listen to what I'm saying. My God shall supply all my needs. If you don't like shouting, you're in the wrong church. Amen. Hallelujah. Number six. Zamar. Zamar. To sing with instruments. To pluck the strings of an instrument. Is there a word behind that?
No.
Okay, to pluck the... Well, that was smart. To pluck the strings of an instrument. To praise with song. Now, let me read the scriptures and then I'll tell you these things. Psalm 147:1. Because I get my examples and I forget what I've done and haven't done. Psalm 147:1, it says, Zamar the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and Zamar is beautiful. Zamar the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and Zamar is beautiful. I was, I told you, I was a music director in Nashville, and we had this guy that played the guitar. His name was Bill Googe, and Bill played acoustical guitar, not electric guitar. He played an acoustical guitar. And when he would play, he would start doing the stuff, and there were times when we were being still and knowing that He is God, and we'd be quiet, that Bill would start to pick something. It was not a song, but he would start to play that instrument unto God. And I'm telling you, church, the presence of God would rest in the place. And one day I was standing on the platform, and we were singing, and there was a lot going on. There was a lot of worship going on. We were worshiping God. People were baraking. People were hallel-ing. People were toda or yada. I mean, there was a lot of worship going on. It was very calm and very, it was loud because there were so many people. But I'll never forget, I was standing on the platform and I looked over at the pit where all the orchestra was, and I looked over at Bill Googe, and he had his guitar like this, and he went like this. And he began to worship God with that instrument. And I'm telling you, I froze in the presence of God. Nobody saw that but me. But he was playing the guitar, and all of a sudden he lifted it up, and tears were streaming down his face. And he was doing Zamar. He was worshiping God with the instrument. It was like, I know, Father, this has its place with the group. It has its place in the worship. But this is for you. How beautiful it was. Is he just worshiped the Father with his instrument. I've been in places where people sat at a keyboard and playing something that did not sound anything like anybody knew, but you could just sense the presence of God. And there's something about that, y'all. When we're obedient to God, see, David learned this out there on those mountains, tending his father's sheep. As a young boy, he began to play that instrument. And there's going to be a day when I'm going to sit next to him and I'm going to say, thanks for your example. Because you made a difference for generations. What if you and I, if Jesus tarries, what if you and I, in obedience to these seven Hebrew words, could make a difference for generations to come? Because we didn't sit back and say, well, I'm not so sure about this. But we're free, Connie, in our worship. And we just say, all that I have is yours. And I will praise you. I will yada. I will shabak. I will zamar. I will toda. I will hallel. I will, God, because you're worthy. Psalm 47. And I am going to bring this to close real quickly here, but I'm going to get these two out. Zamar. Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7 says, sing Zamar to God, sing Zamar. Sing Zamar to our King, sing Zamar. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing Zamar with understanding. That means play on that instrument before your God. And there'll be an understanding in the congregation that this is not for us, but it's all for an audience of one. Amen. You look up 61:8 later, because I'm going to get to the last one. The last one is Tehillah. Say Tehillah. Did you say Zamar?
Yeah.
Okay. Tehillah. Tehillah is to sing in the spirit or to sing Hallel praise. I think many of the hymns, if we understood it, when we proclaim hymns sometimes, we are singing Hallel praise. Because sometimes they're so full of power in what we sing that we are actually singing Hallel praise. Now, some folks get kind of sideways about what it means to sing in the Spirit. And I believe, as a New Testament Christian, that I can sing in the Spirit. And that means, and we did it today. When the songs were playing, when they're not playing the words and you hear people singing, Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. That's singing in the Spirit. That's just singing out of your spirit. Hallelujah, I thank you, Lord. I worship and praise your name. You're singing something other than what's written or what's being seen. And you're singing out of your spirit. You're just singing unto the Lord. And I also believe that as New Testament Christians who've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that we can sing perfect praise by singing in the Spirit or singing in tongues. I can remember my first example of praise. I was laying in bed, going to sleep one night, and I was listening with headphones in my ear because my wife could not handle any noise. And I had earphones in my ear, and I was listening to this man named Phil Driscoll singing in his real rough voice a song unto the Lord. And I was laying in the bed, and I was listening to this, and I began not to listen to him, but I began to think the words unto God. And all of a sudden, I knew the presence of God in that room. The word says God inhabits the praises of his people. I wasn't being loud. It wasn't coming out of my mouth. But there was something going on in the inside of me. And therefore, I knew there was something about music I didn't understand and I didn't know. And that began my journey to understand, because I was trained to sing classically, and I think that has its place in all that we're talking about. But I also knew that God was bringing me to a new era of music in my life. And I began to sing hymns and praise and worship courses. And I began to, instead of singing about God, I began to sing to God. And it started making a major difference in my life. And I believe before the last days that we're going to go from singing about God and singing to God, that in the last days we're going to be singing with God. And that's a people who understand these words. David understands these words. And as we begin, we're going to start hearing out of our mouths songs of proclamation of the Lord of the day. But I can remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that I would, in my natural voice, I would begin to say, Lord, I praise you and I worship you and I lift your name and I honor you and I thank you and I glorify you. And I kept saying, none of these adjectives are working. There's something more on the inside of me that wants to come out. So I began to, as I would worship, release in the Spirit. And I'm not doing this for show. I'm just doing this for example. That I began to say, and y'all, there's a release in that that nothing else can touch. I'd begin to worship God in the Spirit. And it started making a difference in my life. Well, then one day I was in my automobile driving down the street, and I was singing a song, and it was a pretty strong song. And I was singing this song, and all of a sudden, I heard coming out of my mouth, instead of the words of the song, I heard singing in the Spirit. And I'd never heard that before at that point in my life. It was in the early 80s. I'd never heard that, never seen anybody else do such a thing. And so I began to take that with me. And as I would begin to worship the Lord, even in the congregation at times, I would begin to, when we're singing, you know, in the Spirit, not singing the words of the song, but singing, "Praise you, Jesus, thank you, Lord." I begin to sing, "Kelobosho, hila bandere bo korama mamasye, hila bakare mandere boko, huravandere boko rebesye, dendere morra bakar yesho, hurebesi alonanama." I'm telling you, when you're released in praise, that's called perfect praise. Not because I can sing, but because I'm singing the very word of God to God. And I don't even have to understand what I'm singing. But I'm singing by my Spirit. And the more you sing by the Spirit, the more you pray by the Spirit, the more you worship by the Spirit, the more you find out that you're very sensitive to the Spirit. And you can be in a place and you're talking with someone. They say, "Brother, I'm really struggling and I don't know what to do." And all of a sudden, as they're talking to you, you begin to hear words by the Spirit. And you hear God saying, "Hold on, don't give up. Because God knows what you're going through. And He's already made a way of escape." And you might not have never known how to say that or when to say that. But because you're sensitive to the Spirit, because you've been praying in the Spirit, because you've been worshiping in the Spirit, because you've been singing in the Spirit, you're able to hear the Spirit. A friend of mine who built the largest church in Latvia, Russia, Rick Renner, said to me one time, "Mike, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I pray in tongues for 4 hours. Not because it makes me a great preacher, but because it causes me to be able to hear the voice of God." Take these last scriptures. Go ahead and put them up, Pastor. I'm not going to. They're there. Psalms 22, 3 and 25. Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 106, 2, 12 and 47. To sing in the Spirit. To sing hallel, praise. And that is excited and just singing unto the Lord. And just be excited and do that. I brought these seven words to us today because this is the foundation of praise and worship in the church. And like I said, I don't know if you've studied these before, if you've seen them before. Maybe they were pronounced differently for you. I don't know. This is the way I learned them. And y'all, this has been the foundation of my life as a worshiper. And I wanted to share that with you on this weekend of Thanksgiving. And that maybe it'll help all of us make a difference in our lives when we leave this place. That Thanksgiving's not just a holiday we celebrate once a year, but Thanksgiving is a lifestyle that we as believers must walk in to show a lost and dying world that we have something to worship and something to be thankful for. Amen. Would you stand? Lord, I thank you for these principles. I thank you for King David, who you said had a heart after you. I thank you for his example. And I thank you, Lord, that we are still today learning from that example. And God, if there could be some way, somehow, that you would look at us and say, "You know what? Mike's got a heart for me. Don's got a heart for me. Samima has a heart for me. Bryce has a heart for me." And so forth and so on, all over the room, that we are a people who have a heart after you. Because we've learned these principles, we are applying these principles to our life, and we're going to learn them so much that they're just a part of our nature, that it's not something we have to think about, it's just who we are as worshipers. God, I thank you for my family at Lamplight. I thank you for my pastor and for his family. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this place. And I thank you, Father, that we've just begun to see what you're going to do.
That's right.
And next Sunday's going to be a big part of that. Lord, we choose to be excited about it. Vigorously excited. Clamorously foolish. because you are God. We thank you. We praise you. Go with us from this place. Encourage us this week with these words. And let us come back next week ready for what you're going to do in our midst. And everybody that agreed said amen.